It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First of all, I want to make you a promise. It's one of those days in New York sports where so much is happening. And I promise you, over the course of the next 4.5 hours, we will hit everything. A monstrous 3-game series for the New York Mets in Philadelphia. The Yankees with another walk-off. But a question needs to be posed as Clay Holmes re-entered that circle of trust. The New York Giants are playing for their season, according to Mo's. Daniel Jones is playing for his NFL career. The New York Jets are playing for the sanity of Jet fans. There is a lot to get to, and I promise you, Tiki and I will get to everything over the next 4.5 hours. But I do want to start in a place that I'm very curious about, because I do not know the answer from my wonderful partner, Tiki Barber. And that was, most Americans last night were watching the Yankees, and they were watching football. And all of us, and I've certainly expressed my views on how much I don't like the Miami Dolphins, but I also like Tua. And I like human beings. And so when Tua went down the way he did and the reaction that he had, I think all of us as human beings watching certainly reacted to that with compassion. And so what I've been wondering about since that injury occurred, and obviously there's a lot of football aspects to it too, which we'll get into, especially how it impacts the Jets this season in the AFC East. But I thought about you, Teak, and I thought, what does Tiki think of this?
Yeah.
What would he say to us? So walk me through everything that went through your mind when you saw this last
night. Well, I mean, obviously, you feel for Tua because he's had so many. This is now his third diagnosed concussion, but there was, I mean, maybe there's been more over the course of his career, going back to college and et cetera, even high school. And the last thing you want is for a kid like Tua, who is one of the great like guys in the NFL, to suffer some long-term detriment to his health and to his mind and to his ability to play the game, or really forget playing the game, live in life because he's playing a game. And so my immediate thought was his career is over, right? This is it, because he's had at least two of these where he's completely out and he's posting, right? You know, his arm is out. He's completely lost control of his functions. And you know that that is serious trauma to his brain. Like there's a massive impact that shut down his body, and I can't help but think, is it worth it, right? And when he starts having these conversations with his family, with his teammates, with everything, is it worth it? And it's a question I can't answer because I never had to go through that. But is it worth it? I see so many guys, retired guys, some of my teammates that are beat up physically. You get outside of the realm of the physical damage, and you see some of these guys whose minds clearly aren't there anymore. And a lot of it is because of the trauma that you take playing this game. And I can't help but feel for him. I wonder if this is it. If this is it, I know he wants to play because he's still so young. He just got paid, but is it worth it? That's the question I keep asking myself. Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's the individual. I mean, yesterday, there's a lot of irony to what happened yesterday. Obviously, DeMar Hamlin getting hit in the chest as he was tackling him was certainly something that jumped out at you. It was also the birthday of Andrew Luck. Yesterday was Andrew Luck's birthday. He turned 35 years old. And Andrew Luck is one of those guys who made a decision that was so controversial at the time.
Yeah.
But I got it. He was a guy in the prime of his NFL career at the age of 29 or 30, however old he was exactly at the time, who said, I don't want to risk that. And he made that decision. And I think as a fan, the way I look at Tua, and I really believe this, is as long as he's cleared to play, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to try to play football, and there are major risks that are involved, I totally respect that decision.
Right.
Like, I respect that humans have the right to make decisions about their own body. I really do. So, yeah, I felt bad for him last night. I've always liked Tua. As much as I expressed to you, Teak, that I didn't like the Dolphins, and a part of why I like Tua so much is I think he's grossly underrated. And I think that Dolphin fans, in a way, haven't even respected how good he's been since he's come into the league. It's almost explained away, like every time he would make a big play, it'd be like, wow, he underthrew Tyreek Hill. And it's like, come on, dude, the guy's playing well. But it's up to him. You know, Antonio Pierce came out earlier today and said he should retire. How about Tua should do what he wants to do? And he should talk to doctors, certainly. He should talk to former players. He could even give you a call and say, hey, what do you think? But ultimately, he's the human who gets to make that decision.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, this almost feels like a we need to protect you from you situation. Mm. And you hear this often in sport, and usually it's physical injury. It's nothing, you know, about the mind. But given where the NFL has gone over the last half a decade or even more now with protecting body, like the head, because of all the CTE issues and the repeated head trauma issues, and they've legislated out of contact. And I mean, hell, one of the reasons that the kickoff is the way it is because it was one of the leading, you know, concussion, you know, providers or causes in the NFL. And so, like, you can't let a guy, despite his desire to want to do something, put himself in physical harm for the future of his life. That's why this is so serious. And I know I'd want to play, I'm sure. I mean, I had concussions. I know I did. One, because I was unconscious on the field. I got it back up, and I played the next play or two plays later, whatever it was.
Crazy.
I luckily didn't have any long-term effects.
Right.
There's no guarantee that you're not going to have long-term effects despite your desire to want to be out there playing a game that you love.
Yeah. It's it was scary last night, man.
Very.
I mean, you know, you sit there as a fan and you're thinking about your fantasy team and you're thinking about gambling. And in my case, as a Jet fan, I'm thinking about what's best for the Jets. But as he went into Hamlin and as he wasn't sliding, and then that image, I can't even get out of my head now, with his hand making that movement, it was just scary, man.
Yeah, because you know he's not in control anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's lost function. He's lost, like, his mind's not transmitting this, through the synapses, the way that it's supposed to. You just know it, like you see it. It's scary. I mean, I feel for him.
Yes.
Feel for what this means for him, because this is his third one in 3 years.
Yes,
it's a big deal.
And we all remember 2 years ago when he basically collapsed on the field after he got up. So we have the images of Tua dealing with concussions and us seeing it and seeing how bad it looked. Now, here's the other thing, and I really don't want to sound callous in this, because genuinely my stomach hurt watching this happen, and I've always liked Tua for the reasons I laid out. But then you start to think, okay, they're a football team.
Yeah.
There's a game that needs to be played. There's a season that needs to be played. And the reality is this for the Miami Dolphins. I don't think Tua's playing again this season. I think that's kind of like a, I don't know if that's the likeliest thing, but my gut tells me, I mean, you don't think he's going to play again in his career, correct?
I mean, it's not because they won't let him. I don't think he should play again in his career. You've seen this with others. Steve Young, basically, his Hall of Fame career, it could have been, should have been longer, right? Because of the concussions. You've seen it happen with guys. And the last thing you want is for a young, engaging, you know, kid who's got so much other things in his life that I'm sure are important, to waste his mind away by playing a sport. Right? I know we overemphasize how important this game is,
right,
but it's still a sport. And it's a great way to make a living. You're obviously trying to achieve something with your teammates and to, you know, galvanize a city or a town or a fan base, whatever it may be. But it's still a sport, and it's not worth sacrificing your long-term health for.
Yeah, I think ultimately I agree. I just want him to get that information and make the decision himself. I don't want the league to make it for him. Or, I mean, he's got to make it himself. And if he talks to enough people, especially guys like you that played the sport and dealt with it, maybe that's a conclusion he's going to come to. But watching the rest of that game last night, thinking about it this morning, we transition to a football discussion. And here's the reality of football in the AFC East. And I say this without any...
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Smile on my face. I say this callously, really. I just say this about matter-of-factly. The Miami Dolphins are done. It should start right there. They're not good enough to overcome the loss of Tua, and that's a compliment to Tua.
And by the way, they weren't good enough with Tua this game.
They were not. That's a very good point. It was a blowout before the injury.
Yes.
But look, if any of it was just a simple blowout, I could kind of recalibrate, look at what Tua accomplished last year, look at the weapons on the Miami offense, and say they're a major factor in the AFC East. They're no longer that. I mean, Skylar Thompson is their quarterback, and while they still have great weapons, and A-Chain looked good yesterday, Tyreek Hill's a burner, Skylar Thompson, who has started, what, two games in the NFL?
Right.
It's not good enough to compete with the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think it's good enough to even compete with my team, the New York Jets, who have a lot to prove.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, and from a football standpoint, you're right. Like, anytime you get pushed, you should bring out that list that you had yesterday about the spreads with the backup quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, it'd be interesting to look and see where it is with the Miami Dolphins.
So, I looked at it, and I was very surprised, Tiki. Very surprised.
Was it marginal?
It was marginal. It was the same as the difference between Aaron Rodgers to Tyrod Taylor. And basically, what Tiki's referring to, we mentioned this yesterday on the program, is lines on how they would change from starting quarterback to backup quarterback. And so the biggest was Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes is out, Carson Wentz has to start, that line would change by 7.5 points. Same with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And for Tua to Skylar Thompson, and I just categorically disagree with this, I think they're wrong, the spread difference would be 3.5 points.
Yeah, I don't see that.
And I'll tell you why that's the case and why I've grown to like Tua. It's because of that kind of disrespect. He has been disrespected for the last 4 years. I think a part of it is because he's a lefty, as crazy as that sounds. I think lefties don't look as clean throwing the football as righties, and for whatever reason, people poo-poo it. And it's been going on for years. This is not the first time I've said that, but I do think from a football standpoint, I mean, I don't want to say they're screwed, but they're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, Skylar's just not the same kind of quarterback. We can't disrespect what Tua did a year ago, where he led the league in yards. In passing yards,
right.
4,600 yards passing and 29 touchdowns. That wasn't tops in the league, but I mean, this is a lot of damn touchdowns. And one of the reasons that they had so much success pushing the ball downfield to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and how good their run game was with both those running backs is because of Tua.
Yeah.
And Skylar's a different kind of quarterback. He's a different passer, and he doesn't have the experience. And so the best laid plan, it's out the window for them. Now, do I trust that Mike McDaniel is going to find a way to make it somewhat viable? Yes, because he's a good enough coordinator. Like he's one of the best ones in the NFL. So I think he'll adjust, but it's not going to be nearly what the Dolphins are going to need in order to compete in the division and certainly in the AFC.
No question about it. When you as a Jet fan look at the AFC East, I think we always thought the Buffalo Bills were the number one team you got to get past, but it would have been disrespectful to just ignore the Miami Dolphins. But I don't think they're equipped enough to overcome this loss. Skylar Thompson, like you said, hasn't proven he's good enough. I don't think this defense is good enough to carry this unit over the next 15 weeks. So I think the Miami Dolphins went from legitimate factor in the AFC East, legitimate playoff contender, to what? A 5 or 6 win team?
Yeah.
I really do think that big of a difference occurred. Unfortunately, I don't want it to happen this way, that's for sure. Well, I'd rather just beat the Miami Dolphins at their strength, but that's the kind of injury loss that the Dolphins are now suffering as they try to regroup with Skylar Thompson at quarterback.
Yeah, and it's just hard. Any team, doesn't matter what the team is, when you lose your starting quarterback, you just struggle. It's a different grind now for you, and that's where the Miami Dolphins find themselves. It sucks for them. It sucks for the expectation because they were supposed to be one of the teams in the mix. They went to the postseason last year. If it wasn't for a freezing day, maybe they had a better showing against the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason.
No.
But the belief was that they were going to be a team. Maybe you get some marginally better, you can compete. That feels like it's out the window right now.
Now, here's the other thing about watching last night. And we all try to not overreact to one game, or in this case, two games.
Mm-hmm.
But the Buffalo Bills look freaking good. Josh Allen looks freaking good. The Buffalo Bills have responded to the slow start they got off to this season, in which I'm even thinking to myself, oh my God, how great is this going to be? Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are going to steal a game against the Buffalo Bills? Like, oh my God, this is incredible. And you look at the response that they had after falling behind early in that game. You look at what they did, and this is long before Tua got hurt, and you look at, you know, feeding James Cook the way they did and his effectiveness and how good Josh Allen is. Like, I think sometimes we forget how good Josh Allen is. As a Jet fan, I watch this, and I say to myself, There's a lot of ground to cover for the Jets to pee that team and to beat that team, which is the goal and the expectation in this football season.
Yeah, well, there was speculation just that the Bills were going to be different. They lost, the, you know, Mike Milano's out. They lost Stephon Diggs. They're diminished statistically from a skill position standpoint and, you know, linebacker standpoint. But the reality is, as much as we, or you in particular, may dislike their head coach, they are a well-coached team.
You don't like him either, by the way, Tiki. I know you don't.
True, but
thank you.
But Joe Brady, he showed some of the play designs last night were just, I mean, the fourth down touchdown to James Cook, who had three on the day, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
it's like amazing to watch how he just manipulated what he knew was coming defensively from the Dolphins and turned it into a touchdown. So they didn't miss a beat. They lost some important pieces. Both their safeties are gone, and those are good players. They didn't miss a beat. So you give them a ton of credit and realize that they are going to be a force. And a lot of it, let's be real, is because their quarterback is still really,
absolutely,
really good.
Look, the Buffalo Bills, and I know the odds makers started to change things before the season. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills are the team to beat in the AFC East.
Yes.
While the Jets have had some success against them in the regular season, think back to week one last year where they forced Josh into bad turnovers, even beating him 2 years ago. It's not like this is the boogeyman where the Jets have never beaten them. They are the team to beat. This is the team, when I'm sitting there watching the Jets on Sunday, hoping they can get their first win of the year, there are a lot of goals over the course of a football season. Goal number one is to win a game. That's on the docket for the Jets on Sunday.
Right.
Goal number, just one.
Get the first one out of the way.
Just one. I just want to have one Sunday just to start where I'm like, damn, my football team won. That's a good feeling. Then you got to win a couple of games in a row. And dare I say, like a winning streak, right? The next goal after that is to win your freaking division. And I think what we saw last night is one team is out of the way. One team is you could forget about in the Miami Dolphins for very unfortunate reasons, but that's the reality. And another team looks a hell of a lot better than maybe what we expected. But the Buffalo Bills, that is without a shadow of a doubt the team to beat in the AFC East. And I wonder, because, you know, when Patrick Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill, there was so many questions about how he would adjust to that. And look, you're not better off without Tyreek Hill, just like you're not better off without Stephon Diggs. But maybe, Tiki, quarterbacks are better off not having a guy who feels like they need to demand the football and 15 targets a game.
So while you force it to. Yeah.
Right. So maybe you prefer the talent, of course, but maybe it eases things to know, who is my number one receiver, Khalil Shakir? Like, maybe that actually benefits.
Well, it benefits because you don't have to worry about looking one way first. Or thinking one way first. All right, if all things being equal, let me get it to Stephon Diggs. Now it's like, all right, what are they giving me? Like, what is the defense trying to do to me? All right, I'm going to take this guy who's open. I don't necessarily have to target one player. And it allows a really good quarterback to thrive. I think it's almost empowering in some ways. And we talk about this all the time, putting great receivers, a great talent around a quarterback. But sometimes that works against you in some regards.
No, you're right. We got a lot to do on this very, very busy Friday. Your reaction to what we saw last night, not just the injury to Tua, but its impact on the Jets in the AFC East. And coming up, we face a very, very pivotal Sunday here in New York sports. The New York Giants against the Washington Commanders. The New York Jets against the Tennessee Titans. Not only who needs to win more, which fan base will be more pissed off if they're 0-2? We'll get to it. We have a very, 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 very big Sunday coming up. I know it's only the second week of the season, but it is a miserable existence to be 0-2 in the NFL. You don't want to be 0-2 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And coming up in the next few minutes, we will find out which fan base will be more pissed off if they're 0-2 and which team needs this game just a little bit more. We'll do a lot of Jets, a lot of Giants, mix in some Yankees, dramatic win last night. Let me compliment Fox real quick. Joe Davis did the game with the great John Smoltz. For those that remember, right before Soto got the game-winning hit, Joe Davis said, Juan Soto only has one career walk-off, and it was with the Nationals. And within 5 seconds, Soto got the game-winning hit. So for all of the complaints that you guys, Tiki, like to jinx teams, like you may do this weekend to Justin Tucker and the Ravens.
Stop. I won't. Maybe Andrew Catalan will.
He may.
I refuse to be the jinx.
But sometimes the jinx works for you. And last night on a national broadcast, it was the opposite jinx effect for the New York Yankees and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it definitely was. But that's Juan Soto. I mean, you kind of, I'm not that you wanted to, you know, it to come down to another walk-off type situation for the Yankees, but these guys are getting clutch when it matters, and then that's who you would expect it from.
Yeah, the Yankees get clutch. They wait about 9 innings to get clutch, but man, when they get clutch, they're ready to go.
It's not clutch if it's in the third inning. I'm just telling you, you got crooked numbers by inning two. It's not clutch in the end. Clutch is when it matters. Like, you need it. What better person than Juan Soto? I can't believe that's only his second one.
That's why it was so crazy when Joe Davis said it on the broadcast. I'm like, you kidding me? This guy's only had one walk-off hit?
Before we get off and running on the rest of football, just one thought on this, because I had this thought in real time, and I don't care who argues with me. That was the wrong approach, letting Juan Soto swing away there to start that.
Oh, you're ripping the Red Sox?
I'm ripping the Yankees.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Soto should have been.
Oh, stop.
No. Listen to me.
Shut up.
No, this is serious.
I'm just kidding. I'm not saying shut up.
I'm happy that they won the game. In that approach,
you want Soto to bunt?
Hear me out. The Red Sox scored no runs in the top of the inning. All you need is a sac fly runner to get home.
They're going to walk Aaron Judge.
Yeah. Okay.
So now there's first and third one out, and the two best hitters have lost the bat out of their hands.
No, I don't care.
How could you do that?
Then I got two cracks at a fly ball.
If Soto walks, they have to face Judge, or they're going to idiotically load the bases with nobody out. That's the worst baseball opinion I've ever heard on this radio station.
Nope.
And we employ Big Mac.
Nope. If a team doesn't score in the top, you should always bunt first and get that in a position where you get two cracks at a fly ball.
You're nuts.
They have studies that have said this, right, Sean?
I don't know. I've studied.
Let's get to your calls. Crazy night last night. We saw the Bills blow out the Dolphins. We saw the Bills remind us as Jet fans how damn good they are. We also saw an incredibly unfortunate situation with Tua that may well end his NFL career. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Oh, what's up? Hey, how you doing, Evan?
What's up?
Yeah, you took a little bit of my thunder, man, because All morning, all it was about two of this, two of that. And all off season, let's be honest, you Jet fans were talking, oh, we have an 85 Bears defense.
That was last off season.
Predict us in the AFC championship. And, you know.
That was this off season.
This off season, pardon me.
The Bears were last off season, not this off season.
Okay. Regardless, you know, it was like we have this. We're going to the AFC Championship. We're facing the Chiefs. Was the narrative. The Bills lost X, Y, and Z, and you know they're out of the picture. Meanwhile, they're the four-time going to be the five-time AFC East champs, and again, they showed you last night why they the Buffalo Bills.
Well,
that game plan was masterful.
I've got amazing news for you that you probably don't even realize. Are you aware of Byron Brown? Do you know who Byron Brown is?
No.
It's okay. Byron Brown is the mayor of Buffalo, okay? He's the mayor of Buffalo. And I have his phone number. And I just texted him to make you happy. There's going to be a parade tomorrow at 11 a.m. You want to know why? Because you're 2-0 and you're amazing. What do you want? What do you want, the Lombardi Trophy while you're at it, too? Like, they played well. I've admitted they are the team to beat in the AFC East. I've always thought they're the team to beat in the AFC East. And we will give you your proper due because you deserve it. But what? What, you want a parade? You want a ring? Did you win your championship? Because last I checked, you may win the division every year, but you come up really, really, really tiny come January. And isn't that what you're defined by, Bill fans? Not beating the Jets, not shutting me up or shutting anyone up. But, hey, don't worry. Byron Brown got the message. You guys have a parade tomorrow morning. I hope you enjoy it. You like that?
I thought you kept him on the air. I can't tell when you hang up on somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I hung up on him.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to respond.
Nah, I had no response. I had to get rid of him.
So salty, Evan.
I'm not salty. I gave the Bills credit. The Bills are the team to beat.
I know, but that was like backhanded saltiness.
Because you know why? That guy wants to spike the football. You haven't done anything yet. I mean, you're off to a great start. You're the team to beat. I respect that. But
I think the Buffalo Bills goals are a lot bigger than starting the year 2-0 against the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins.
True, but the Miami Dolphins were thought to be a threat. Until they weren't.
Well, they're not a threat anymore.
And look, and I know we're talking about Tua and the concussion, but they looked bad for most of the game.
But you know what was great about that phone call, Tiki? Pick up on this. So yesterday on the program, for those that missed it, you can always go listen to the podcast or whatnot. We talked about rivalries and the Jets rivalries, the Giants rivalries. And I explained to you that I despise the Dolphins a lot more. And a part of why is their fans. There are more obnoxious Dolphin fans than Bill fans. Well, guess what? Our last caller just added some points to the obnoxiousness of the Buffalo Bill fan.
Oh, God.
So it's going a long way. It's going a long way. Now we're going to be full-fledged rivals.
Exactly.
I think we're there already, actually. Let's go to Joe in Cranford. What's up, Joe?
You guys have some breaking news you haven't told us about yet?
Go ahead.
Tua could be playing this week or next week.
Listen, Al Michaels, you're very wrong about
that. Anything yet.
Come on, man.
What?
I called you Al Michaels sarcastically. I called you out, Michael, sarcastically. I do want to explain that because Al last night kind of said something similar to you, like, hey, it's a long week. I think, with all due respect, Joe, it would be amazing if he never had suffered a concussion and he was good to go. Mm-hmm. But there is no way after suffering, his third concussion and what we saw on the field, there is no way, Joe, it would either be responsible by the Miami Dolphins or the NFL or in the best interest of Tua for him to ever take the field next Sunday. And I think you know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, it could be in 2 weeks from now. I mean, you guys can't just count him out.
We're not counting him out. We're just talking about what's likely best for him. Clearly, he is easily susceptible to concussions because this is his third one in 3 years. And I know it's easy to just think about the football side of this, but there is damage that comes from repeatedly getting your brain sloshed around, bruised, etc. That causes a diminishing of motor function. Right? That's not good for you, period. We know this empirically now. Medically, we know this. And so Tua, in his best interest, has to make a real tough decision whether or not he wants to keep playing this game or he's going to step away from it because he is susceptible to concussions. Now, I knew it two years ago, but I forget the protocols in order to get back onto the field. And it's a lot of things. It's, you know, not having any symptoms. It's being able to go through a workout without symptoms. It's be able to, you know, have regular night's sleep. And they check all of this.
Right.
And if any one of these fails, you get set back. You get set back to step number one. These are all steps. And if you fail any step, you get set back to step one. And it's why last year or 2 years ago, I believe that nobody who had a concussion played the following week.
Exactly.
Because it's very hard to clear all of the protocols. And those are precautions that the NFL has necessarily put into their, you know, their policies. And so he's not playing next week.
Well,
the question is, does he clear it by week three or week four or five, etc.? And is it worth it to him to keep playing football?
I think that what our last caller did is he forgot. Kind of like Al Michaels. And Al is getting a lot of criticism for a few things from last night. Number one, he's been doing this for the last few years. He's not excited over touchdowns. That's been going on for a while. Don't want to harp on that.
Especially a fourth down touchdown.
I know.
And the play design that I was talking about. It was awesome.
Yeah. And Al was like, touchdown.
Right.
So he has been very casual about that. But the other thing he did last night was he did make that comment, a very flippant comment about, hey, well, good for Miami. They have a long week. And I think that was just a very out-of-touch comment, much like our last caller. Tiki hit on it. There is a long process, a five-step process in returning to play. It is nearly impossible to assume he's going to get through that the next 2 weeks, but it's grander than that. He suffered another concussion. We all saw what happened on the field last night. It is not realistic to think he's playing football anytime soon. I can't say he's definitely never going to play football again, but the idea of, well, there are byes in a few weeks, he may be back soon, that's just, like, if this was 1995, I'd say you're right.
Oh, even 2005.
Right.
I got a concussion against the Cowboys. I went out for two plays. They threw an interception, and I came right back in.
Right. Yeah, you laid it out, even 10 years ago. So I think our last caller and Al Michaels are just forgetting it's a new world.
Yes.
It's a world in which he's going to be protected. And I don't want to play this game of when's he going to come back, if he's going to come back. I wouldn't do it now. But I think it's safe to say it's not going to be for a while.
No, I think you're right. And I was trying to look up and see how many games he missed the last time he had a concussion. But it was more than one. And so...
Yeah, it was... I would guess, I'm trying to remember, I think it was about 3 weeks that he missed.
Yeah, I want to say, yeah, he missed three games and it came back. It was like a month that when he finally came back. But it's just I think we get flippant about it because most of us grew up like thinking, oh, you just got dinged.
Right.
Oh, you just saw some stars. Or it's, you know, you'll be okay. There's no long-term, you know, damage from those things. But now we know better.
Yeah.
We should know better. And so it's almost on us to not be so flippant about it, a la what Al Michaels said. It's like you have to take it seriously because it really does cause some long-term damage, and we've seen it.
So here are the exact dates. He suffered that concussion in 2022 on September 29th. He came back to play on October 23rd.
Yeah.
So he ended up missing two games. It was a little under a month, and then he came back.
Yeah.
So that's the track record, but I think we all agree this is very, very different.
And then suffered the other one week 16, missed the last.
Right, and then missed the last few weeks of the season. Yep. Right. That was at the end of the season, and that's when we actually saw Skylar Thompson play in the postseason. I mean, Skylar Thompson just hasn't played a lot.
No.
So as much as...
I mean, he's not that much older. He's only a year older than Tua, I believe. But I think he's only gotten two starts in his career or something like that.
They're going to sign a veteran. You want to know who they're going to sign?
Who is that?
You ready to hear this?
Tell me.
It's breaking news. Me and Sean broke this. Was it Sean? I don't forget. Maybe it was Loogie. One of those
no,
two guys.
Me and you talked about the quarterbacks.
Oh, it was me and Sean?
Loogie gave us nothing.
It was not Loogie? All right. We were breaking down the quarterbacks before the show today.
Yeah.
How about this reunion? Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, Ryan thinks he can still play. That's for sure.
Well,
and he's waiting for that opportunity. You might be right. It's an interesting reunion for the only quarterback that they've drafted.
I do have a better idea for Miami, and I fully endorse this. I think this would be a great, great idea. I think they should call up Sean Payton, and I think they should say, hey, we'll give you a conditional sixth for Zachariah. And I think Zach Wilson should go to Miami. Mm-hmm. People will freak out. They'll say, oh, my God, Zach's going to come back to kill the Jets. Jet fans will say that.
That's a good idea.
You like that idea?
Because I think Mike McDaniel is the kind of perfect coach for Zach.
Oh, God. I'm only suggesting it because I am convinced Zach will then fall flat on his face and we'll all get to laugh at it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think he'll go down there and be great.
If that's the case, then take that idea away. Then I've deleted the idea. But I do know people would freak out over it, and then eventually it'd be, oh, Zach Wilson stinks. I forgot about that. Hmm. Let's go to John in Howell, New Jersey. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Excellent.
Good.
Peaky, I got a question for you. And Evan, I do agree with you that Tua, you know, based on the history, will miss the year. And we've heard throughout the years that no one's bigger than the shield. And you don't want to damage the shield.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that the union or the NFL steps in and says, you know, maybe you shouldn't come back because of the long-term effect that may occur, and maybe the ownership of the Dolphins are thinking about the future now? I understand it's his decision, but can ownership cut him and just say, listen, we'll pay you, so,
well, yeah,
and
I mean,
the union step in?
Look, at certain part, I forget. I have to go look it up. There's a big part of his deal that's guaranteed. And so if you're looking from an owner standpoint, this is Stephen Ross. He'll do the right thing. Stephen's he's not callous like that. And even if that money that's guaranteed, it's in the escrow. It's away. It's his. You can't do anything about it. Now, can you recoup it via insurance? Sure. Every big contract like that is insured in some capacity. But I think that's the lesser part of the story. Those are particulars that will get worked out whenever a decision is ultimately made. I think the union, more importantly to your question, is more about protecting his business interest. It's not necessarily about his physical, emotional interest. I think that's more from a team perspective and whether or not it makes sense. They committed money. They committed a contract to Tua because they thought he was their guy going forward. Now, just like all of these contracts, they're kind of short. It's not like an 8-year contract. They're shorter, and there are outs after a couple of years. But, I mean, we're getting ahead of what the biggest issue here is, and that's whether or not Tua Tagovailoa, personally, himself, forget anybody else's opinion, should continue to play football.
Yeah.
And some people are already saying, Antonio Pierce basically came out and said he should retire.
He shouldn't say that, by the way.
Of course he should.
He's a head coach of an NFL team. He can't say that.
Of course he should. But AP is AP keeps it real. That's the one thing I love about him.
I appreciate that.
He doesn't care. He's not standing on protocol. You ask him a question, he's going to give you an answer, even if he's not supposed to or whatever it is going to be. It's what made him such a good teammate, and it's what hopefully is going to make him a good head coach as well. So I agree with you, but I love the fact that he did, because he's just keeping it real.
Yeah, no, like that part of it, I agree. Like, who doesn't want someone to just be brutally honest? Right. And so many times head coaches, Brian Daboll, won't tell us anything. So I do respect that AP did that. But the Raiders play the Dolphins this season.
Yeah.
Like, that is a huge conflict of interest. You can't say that.
No, but
not really.
What are the Raiders going to be doing in the offseason?
What does that mean?
They're going to be looking for a quarterback. They want less teams looking for a quarterback, dude. That actually hurts the Raiders.
What do you mean?
That's serious.
Thinking about that.
Dude, Antonio Pierce, he's not a loser like you thinking about losing right now in the quarterback competition or in the offseason. He's trying to win games.
But I'm saying
they play the Dolphins. Do the Raiders have a better chance to beat the Dolphins if Tua's playing or Tua's not playing?
Tua's not playing.
Okay. There you go. Okay. So that's it.
I was hoping that wasn't a trick question.
Oh. No. Dude, it's weird. I've always defended Tua.
Yeah.
Because I feel like over the last few years, every accomplishment he's had has been dismissed. Like,
of course,
any touchdown bomb he throws, it's like, oh, he underthrew the guy. I'm like, shut up, dude. Led the league in passing yards last year. Like, he's good. He's good. Is he the best quarterback in the league? I didn't say that, but he's a good player. And I felt like he's been disrespected. And I think he was disrespected because he was a lefty. As odd as that sounds, I think lefties have always been disrespected because their throws don't look as pretty. In fact, did you ever see the video where they reversed him and made him a righty?
I did. Yeah. It looks perfect.
Exactly.
It's just our mind. Our mind is used to looking one way.
You're part of the problem, Teague.
Oh, stop.
You just said it looked perfect.
Because it was.
But it's not when he throws lefty.
I think he looks perfect, though, in lefty, too.
Oh, okay. A lot better than.
You think he's seriously, I know you're a lefty. You think he's disrespected because he's a lefty?
Yeah.
No, he's disrespected, much like Chad Pennington was disrespected, because he's got no zip on the ball. That's why. And he plays with guys that are basically cheat codes. That's why. Steve Young's in the Hall of Fame.
Everything he's accomplished doesn't count.
Hold on a second. Steve Young's in the Hall of Fame. Boomer's going to get in the Hall of Fame. There's no, like, conspiracy against lefties. No, I appreciate you standing up for lefties, but I don't think it's because he's lefty.
With all due respect to Steve Young and Boomer Esiason, it was a very long time ago. So I think you have to look at the modern kind of view of things where videos are on social media all the time. Videos are on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Most people consume sports these days, as odd as it is, by not even watching the games, by seeing highlights. So I think that comparing it to Steve Young and Boomer, who, with all due respect, they're very old. It was a long time ago. Mm. Not the same.
I think it's more of a size thing, too, with Tua, not lefty. He's just a smaller quarterback. Smaller quarterbacks get disrespected.
All right. Well, I disagree with you.
And America was obsessed with Tua playing quarterback at Alabama, playing left-handed. Nobody had a problem with it there.
So then what changed? Right. Then what changed?
What changes? He has no zip on balls. And, like, I hate
ridiculous
to say it.
Luke, he makes the play. Right about something. He makes the plays, and he would be criticized for everything. Every time. Oh, he underthrew him. Who cares? He threw a touchdown. It's ridiculous.
I see what this is.
There's no seeing what this is. I've always said this.
You're trying to make yourself feel better that the Dolphins have been so much better than the Jets the last 5 years.
No, I don't have to make myself feel better about it. The Dolphins have been better than the Jets the last 5 years, but I do have this going for me. The Miami Dolphins, despite all their success over the last 5 years, has won the same amount of playoff games as the New York Jets over the last 5 years. And that's a fact. In fact, the last time the Miami Dolphins won a playoff game, Bill Clinton was president. That's a long time ago. You know how many presidents we've had since Bill Clinton?
Okay, not everything has to come back to regimes.
You want
to
count that?
We know. You hate the Dolphins. Me, Tiki, and Evan.
I'm defending too. Well, I hate the Dolphins. Let's go to Kyle in Smithtown. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How are you? I just want to touch on one thing I heard Sean say in the beginning of the show.
Of course.
I love you, but your take that Soto should have bunted may be one of the silliest baseball takes of all time. You cannot take the bat out of Soto's hands knowing they're going to walk Judge. And I know I heard you say you get two cracks at a fly ball afterwards. You don't. You get one crack at a fly ball because the sack bump would be an out. And
then no, you're right about that. It's one crack. But I'm going to assume we're going to get the fly ball.
Dude, it's
we saw it with Austin Wells the day before.
Yeah, well, hold on a second. We saw it the day before. Okay, let's go to the day before. The same situation occurred. Do you remember that? There was a runner on second, and there was nobody out. And do you remember what Juan Soto did? I'll tell you because I remember it. He had a ground ball to second base.
Mm-hmm.
Serves the exact same feature as a sacrifice bunt. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge then got intentionally walked, and Jazz Chisholm hit the ground ball that sneaked through. Juan Soto, here's my point for bringing that up. Juan Soto is such a freaking good hitter that you let him try to just win the game, And in your thought process, hey, worst case scenario, he may hit a ground ball to second base. You may get the thing that you're pining for, but you're also eliminating Aaron Judge from ever getting an at-bat.
Yeah, and he's very likely to strike out, unlikely to strike out Soto in that situation. So you don't think he's going to strike out. Now, maybe he does strike out, but he's not likely going to strike out. He's going to make contact because that's what Juan Soto does, or walk.
Yeah, I think the real discussion in this is, was that opinion by Sean Morash the dumbest baseball opinion ever heard on WFA?
No, by the way, if Soto didn't have a history of this, how many times have we seen this year? Wow, Soto's putting out the bunt. I was,
you know what? If
it
was anyone, if it was not the top of the lineup for the Yankees, maybe you have a valid point. Maybe.
Mm.
That would just always be my approach if a team doesn't score.
AT, can I ask you a very serious question? Speaking of dumb sports opinions. So there's a guy, and I'll reveal his name later, but there's a guy who offered also a very, very stupid opinion in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And I want you to judge which one was dumber. Okay. So we've got Sean Morash saying Juan Soto should bunt in a tie game with the Yankees last night.
With a runner in scoring position.
With a runner in scoring position. The other opinion was that from 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I should say, when the Giants were struggling, and the suggestion was Kadarius Toney should become the new Giants quarterback. Which opinion is dumber?
And then Kadarius Toney?
Yes. Yes. Kadarius Toney should be the new quarterback for the New York Football Giants.
I mean,
which one is dumber?
Just slightly the Kadarius Toney one.
Slightly Kadarius Toney. Right, congratulations, Sean. You don't lose. That opinion was offered by one of my dear friends, one of your dear friends, the great Pete Hoffman, who does a wonderful job here on WFAN. Yeah.
That should invalidate him being in this business.
Well, hold on a second.
Kadarius Toney should be the next quarterback?
Yeah, he suggested that.
Why?
I think at the time, the Giant quarterback situation was so, like, messy.
At the time?
Yeah, at the time, right.
Jeez.
In fact, I was actually...
I don't remember it being that bad ever.
Well, it was pretty bad because remember we were watching Mike Glennon play quarterback? Like, it was really bad. Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm, remember that?
At least Mike Glennon is a quarterback.
Now, is he, though?
Yes.
Was I nuts or did Toney throw a touchdown pass and
so
that's what led to that?
Kadarius Toney threw three passes that year. Mm. I don't think anywhere for a touchdown, but he was a guy who they drew up trick plays for and I guess can throw the football.
Well, the fact that they had to resort to that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get some offense, man. Kadarius, can you throw it? All right, good. Let's dial this up. Hey, that's not good football.
You know what's crazy, Teague? If Daniel Jones has a very tough Sunday and I put a poll up on Monday morning, who do you want to start? Daniel Jones or Kadarius Toney? I bet you Kadarius could pull that one off.
Maybe that's why the Browns signed him with Watson struggling.
Stop. Maybe. So congratulations, Sean. As dumb as the Soto opinion is, it is not the dumbest opinion in the last 2 years. So congratulations.
I could teach you a thing or two about baseball, kiddo. Anytime you want to pull up the chair, watch baseball with me.
I love you, man. Bunting with Juan Soto. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Plus, this is a very, very stressful Sunday. A Sunday where the New York Giants need to win. A Sunday where the New York Jets need to win. Which fan base will be more irritable, miserable, and downright cranky if they lose? Plus, we'll get into each of these games as well.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.